It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
F Rochester, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
It's Friday. Let's get it. Chris Mack in for Nick Costos today on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary on Westwood One Sports, always inside your Westwood One Sports app, and live across North America on Sirius XM Channel 375. I've come up with a way to properly punish the Utah Jazz for this tanking business, but is it realistic? We'll talk to Nick Friedell, NBA insider, in about 20 minutes here on You Better You Bet about that and whether anybody's actually going to pay attention to All-Star Weekend. If the USA versus the world fix is actually that, or just kicking the can down the road on the All-Star game becoming increasingly irrelevant in the NBA. But we've been talking of Derek Carr maybe making a comeback. He's floated that out there. Talked to Alex Gold in Kansas City earlier. So let's keep it in the AFC West. I've had some wild thoughts, at least according to some, about what the Raiders should be doing this offseason. Let's talk to somebody who's really legit plugged in on everything silver and black from Raider Nation Radio and the Las Vegas Sports Network. Q Myers joins us here inside the Power Hour on You Better You Bet. Q, how you doing this morning?
Man, fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show. Definitely appreciate you.
No, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. I want to start, obviously, with the elephant in the room, which is the Max Crosby situation. Not happy with the way the end of the season played out. Doesn't sound like he's a fan of Tom Brady's wellness director, Alex Guerrero, coming in and telling him about the way the end of the season would go down. And sounds like he'd like to go somewhere else. In particular, the whispers of New England have been mentioned. So let's start with Crosby. Is there any way to mend this relationship between Max Crosby and the Raiders?
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny because it feels like this is the elephant in the room almost every year, right? Every offseason. And I guess when you're a team that has as many coaching changes and coaching hires and fires as the Raiders do, that situation's going to happen. But yeah, Max was not happy when he got sat down at the end of the year. Alex Guerrero is a guy that comes with Tom Brady, as we all know. But, you know, the thing is, everyone sung his praises during training camp. Everyone said, you know, with the weather and everything, the conditions in Henderson, where it's really hot, you know, the guys that are taking care of their bodies are Alex Guerrero and his team. So a lot of people sang his praises during the training camp and leading into the regular season. And then when Max Crosby gets set down for, you know, whatever reason or the other, you know, obviously the knee situation, the first round pick, the number one overall pick, we all know what goes into that situation. He just wasn't happy. So I think that things could be mended. I think there just needs to be a serious conversation. And they have to figure out where the timelines match up, if the timelines match up, right? Max wants to win. He wants to win more than anything else. He wants to win. And the Raiders don't look like they're close to winning. But what does the timeline look like? And if it seems like they're somewhat, you know, on the same trajectory and on the same line, I think that Max will be okay. If they're not, I can see the Raiders trading him.
Yeah, I was going to say, Max is still at the peak of his powers. He's 28 going on 29, can still have a massive impact on games and a season as a whole. But with all the overhaul that's needed of this roster, I mean, really, you could go up and down, and there's few names outside of Bowers and Genty that you get excited about. Is there a belief in Max Crosby's camp that they can turn this thing around quickly enough to where he's not going to be in the back third, the back stretch of his career before this team is competitive again?
See, that's the key right there. And that's where I think the conversations with Clint Kubiak, who, you know, Max Crosby was there on Tuesday when he was introduced. He wasn't in the actual press conference, but he was in the building because he's in the building first every single day. Clint Kubiak said that he sat down and had a cup of coffee with him and had a conversation. From everything I understand, that conversation went really good. But I do think that there's more conversations to be had. And again, I think you hit it on the head. Do those timelines match up? You know, Max, like I said, wants to win. He talks about that all the time. He wants to be legendary, right? He's got Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali tattooed on his chest. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to be the ultimate winner. So that's his thing. And, of course, he's beloved by Raider Nation. Him and Mark Davis have a fantastic relationship. I know that he doesn't want to leave Las Vegas, but he might have to leave Las Vegas. And then on top of that, the Raiders might look at it and say, you know what? We're not going to win right now, and the best way to try to turn this roster around is actually to move you to a contender where we can get some more assets. So I think it's a two-sided conversation, and I think both sides need to be realistic with each other, take emotions out of it, and just be realistic and say, what is better for you and what is better for us?
Keeping it in reality, what do you think they can get in return for Max Crosby if they end up moving on?
Now, that's a great question. I think that it's like a first-round pick. You know, one first-round pick, maybe a player, maybe a first and a third. That's what Devontae was traded for when the Raiders made that move in 2022. It was a first and a third. I could see that. But, you know, it's funny. I hear people saying the Micah Parsons trades, that was two first-round picks and a three-time Pro Bowler in Kenny Clark. I think that's a little bit rich, but you know how the situation goes. If there's more than one team that wants you and they start getting into a bidding war, maybe. The other situation here is a lot of Raider fans are thinking, yeah, go trade him to the Jets, get a couple first-round picks. Well, why would the Jets trade for him, right? Why would a team in the top 10 that is obviously talent void, just like the Raiders are, why would they trade for him? They need all the picks that they can get. So it's got to be a team like the Bills. It's got to be a team like the Bears, the Lions, the Cowboys, teams that actually have realistic opportunities to go win, and that's at the back end. So it's probably going to be a later first-round pick. So then the Raiders have to decide, is that juice worth the squeeze, right? Is that situation something that's going to make us get excited and fired up about turning this roster over?
Q Myers is out in Vegas for Raider Nation Radio and the Las Vegas Sports Network with us here inside the Power Hour on You Better You Bet. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos. As far as accumulating draft capital goes, I had an idea yesterday, Q. I don't know if this makes sense to you or not, but I look at the Raiders roster and I see a long-term rebuild taking place. Like I said, outside of Bowers and Genty, there aren't a lot of names to get excited about if Max Crosby moves on his way. So why not listen to offers on the first overall pick? I know Mendoza is the only quarterback that people feel good about in this draft, and they know they need a quarterback, but that philosophy of getting the quarterback first when the rest of the roster hasn't been built out has not worked for a lot of young quarterbacks across the league over the last 5 to 10 years. Is there any thought to, okay, we can move this first overall pick for a hefty amount of capital, and we can use the picks we acquire there, the picks we acquire in a possible Max Crosby deal, to build out this roster more quickly and dive back in on quarterback in another year or two?
I think the thought is there for sure. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I mean, you know, look, if a team calls and they give you a king's ransom for the number one overall pick, you'd be silly not to listen and at least consider it. I think good businesses is definitely thinking about it. And that's why the Raiders haven't come out as a team and said, yeah, Fernando Mendoza's our guy. Clint Kubiak was asked about him just the other day, and he said, hey, I got a lot of film to study. We'll see where the number one overall pick ends up being. We'll see where Fernando ends up going. So a lot of people thought, oh, man, maybe they're not in on Mendoza. Look, I don't think Clint Kubiak's the head coach of the Raiders if they weren't going to go get their quarterback, right? They've been without a quarterback since Derek Carr got sat down by Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler. That was multiple GMs ago and multiple head coaches ago. So they've been having this quarterback carousel for the longest. It would be, in theory, you're not wrong. Grab extra draft capital, build this team out, go back into the draft next time and get a quarterback. But you're not guaranteed you're going to have that opportunity. The Raiders learned this when they were trying to get Jaden Daniels a couple years ago, and they ended up with the number 13 overall pick, which was great. They ended up with Brock Bowers, but they didn't get their quarterback, right? So they're not guaranteed that they're going to have this situation again. And a lot of people say, well, Q, if you go and trade back, get extra capital, you can always trade back up. Well, okay, well, what's the point of that, right? I mean, if I'm gonna trade and collect extra picks, and then I'm just going to give them right back to trade back up, what am I doing? It's like I'm hustling backwards. So I just think that when it's all said and done, the Raiders will end up with Fernando Mendoza, Clint Kubiak, and him will have an opportunity to grow together. And the other thing about this is you don't have to play him right away. Tom Brady has also been on the record of saying he's not a fan of quarterbacks playing immediately. And I know he's the number one overall pick, and very rarely do you see the number one overall pick not play. But when you understand your situation, you know you're not that one quarterback away from being a playoff team. You could sit him for some handful of games, maybe even a year if you want to sit him and let someone else play it, like an Aiden O'Connell or another kind of a bridge quarterback, and then get ready when the situation is better, then let that quarterback go play.
What is the hope, you think, realistically, again, for what Mendoza can be? Because I look at Mendoza and I see a guy who obviously is coming off a great year, but yeah. I think in a lot of other drafts, he's not a 1-1. I think his ceiling, if everything goes right for Fernando Mendoza, is maybe top 10 to top 12 quarterback in the league. Do the Raiders look at that and say, hey, we're willing to spend first overall capital on this because, like you said, we've been in the quarterback wilderness for 4 or 5 years now?
I mean, personally, I think he could be better than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold just won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And now I know that he has got a lot of weapons around him and that defense is incredible. I think he could be at least as good as Sam Darnold, right? And he was number 3 overall pick by the Jets. So I think that there's a real scenario where Fernando could be good. If he was drafted in the, 2024 draft with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May, I think he would have been fourth. I don't think he would have been first. I'd be silly to believe that he'd be better than Caleb or Jaden or Drake, but I think he could be right behind Drake and ahead of Michael Penix. And I think that that's fair, right? And so if he could end up being a really good Kirk Cousins, a really good Jared Goff, maybe Matt Ryan-ish. You know what I mean? Like, if he could be anywhere around those guys, that's a win, right? And the Raiders haven't had that kind of quarterback play since 2016, Derek Carr, right before he broke his ankle. So I think that for the Raiders in particular, this would be a home run hire if they could bring him in and have him as the face of the franchise. And, oh, by the way, in Vegas, they don't have a home field advantage right now. Allegiant Stadium has a lot of the opposing fans come in with all their jerseys and their signs and all excited and taking over the stadium. You know how many Mendoza jerseys will be all over Allegiant Stadium? They go and take him number one overall. And I know you don't draft a player just for jersey sales, but it's also a part of it. And I do think that all of a sudden he could become the face of the franchise, someone Raider Nation could rally behind.
Yeah, reigniting the fan base has to be an important part of it. You got to consider it, definitely. Q Myers with us from Vegas, talking Raiders. Before I continue down the path of the Raiders specifically, though, we naturally brought up Derek Carr because those talks about him maybe jumping back in have come up in the last day or two. Just your impression of that idea. I mean, the only team I could see even remotely making sense would be if Minnesota decides they want to season J.J. McCarthy for another year and Carr gets to go play with a competitive team and some really good receiving weapons at his disposal, a great quarterback-related head coach in Kevin O'Connell. But even that, I think, is a stretch. You know, Carr didn't look terrible in his time in New Orleans, but he also didn't look very good.
Right. Well, that's the thing about it. And listening to him and his brother talk about him coming out of retirement and playing with a contender, I was thinking, this is a guy that hasn't won a playoff game, and he's only played in one in his career, right? I mean, in 2016 was the peak Derek Carr. That's when he was playing at his highest, and that's when he broke his ankle on Christmas Eve. So, you know, I think if he wants to come back, great. He's a good dude. I think he could be a good quarterback for any team. But it was just funny to hear him say that, well, he has to play for a contender. Well, I mean, what have you done in your career to make that kind of statement? I got to play for a contender. Well, you've never been on a contender. What are we talking about? You know, so and never proven to be the guy that puts that team over the top either. So, I mean, if he wants to go back and play and try to solidify a position for somebody like Minnesota, like the Jets. Look, the thing is, there's not a lot of quarterbacks in this draft, as you know. So, you know, there could be a scenario where a team reaches out. The thing is, they'd have to trade for him. He's under contract with New Orleans. And, you know, he says he's healthy, so maybe he'd give it a go. But I just thought it was kind of funny that the demands were, well, I got to be able to play for a Super Bowl. okay, well, you never had an opportunity to play for a Super Bowl. So maybe that's the only reason to lure him out. I don't know. But yeah, a lot of Raider fans are talking about bringing him back as a bridge. And I'm like, man, look for your next, not your ex. It's just that simple.
Don't settle. Yes. Don't fall back into the same bad habits. I got you. What is the expectation for Clint Kubiak? Is there, I mean, obviously, walking into the roster constructed as it is, we all know it's going to take some time to build it out. But what is the immediate expectation? And then what is the long-term hope maybe for Raider fans?
Well, I mean, the long-term hope is that he's going to be the head coach for a long time. He's going to get multiple contracts, right? Because that hasn't happened at all. I mean, I've been here in Las Vegas since 2021. This is the fifth full-time head coach since then. Right. And so that lets you know the math doesn't math right there. So that's already a bad situation. So, you know, seeing what he was able to do in Seattle as an offensive play caller, you're hoping that he's able to turn this thing around, grow with the quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, grow with the offense, you know, make it a legit offense, something that they haven't had for a very long time. You know, be able to be the CEO and build this thing up the right way, where you have a lot of young talent, John Spytek and Tom Brady leading the charge when it comes to the roster construction. Be able to get this young talent that you're assuming that they're going to bring in and get them all on the same page. So they're a competitive team. They're a team that could be a playoff team year in and year out, right? Not one of those that you look at them on schedule and say, oh, that's a win, right? I mean, they've got to be much better, you know, got to bring that commitment to excellence and that just win baby mentality back to the Raiders. And, you know, with his, you know, his family ties with Gary Kubiak being a four-time Super Bowl champion, his dad, obviously he's got the football acumen. I mean, he's that guy. So they're just hoping that he could be there for a long time. Basically, like John Gruden was the first time when he got hired, when he was a young, up-and-coming guy. They're hoping that Clint Kubiak could be that same guy and take him to the promised land.
What has the Brady effect really been real? Has it been felt around the organization to this point?
Everyone says it has, right? I haven't seen it particularly for myself. I know John Spytek said he's not able to be in the building all the time. Obviously, that had a lot to do with him being on the broadcast for Fox. But with that being said, you know, there's people in the building that say, hey, he's much more heavily involved. He didn't really do a whole lot, in my opinion, last year. But, you know, the one thing we all know about Brady is if he doesn't do something very well, he will work his tail off to get better, just like the broadcast. I don't think his first year broadcasting was very good. Last year was a lot better. So I think that he's going to take this roster, you know, building a job that he has and as a minority owner, but the expectations he has, I think he's going to take it a lot more serious and really put his, you know, put everything he can into it to try to get it right and make sure that, you know, his name is not a, you know, not smeared as like, oh, well, there's something there. There's an area that Tom Brady failed at. He doesn't want to do that.
Hugh Myers of Raider Nation Radio and the Las Vegas Sports Network with us here on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today. One last thing I wanted to ask you about, because I think it's the under the radar sort of linchpin to this whole thing working over the next few years, is the offensive line. How quickly can they remake that offensive line so that when Fernando Mendoza does get in there and does get snaps, he's not running for his life?
Yeah, they have to do that immediately, right? I mean, that's something that they should do before he ever gets drafted, because that offensive line was a train wreck last year. I mean, let's just keep it real. You know, I mean, Geno Smith got sacked, what, 55 times? Like, that just can't happen. So, yeah, I'm looking at that offensive line. I'm looking at the $100 million that the Raiders have in salary cap space and thinking that they have to attack that. The other situation is Clint Kubiak comes in, and you know what kind of blocking scheme the Kubiaks, the Shanahans always run, that zone blocking scheme. It's never really worked for the Raiders whenever they've attempted to do that. So I asked Coach about that the other day. You know, what do you need? Well, we need athletic offensive linemen. We need a smart center. We need this, that. So they've got to not only go out there and reconstruct the offensive line, they've got to reconstruct it to guys that could fit that scheme. So that means that the offensive line coach hire is going to be important as well. So they've got to get that done first and foremost. I would never put Fernando Mendoza back behind that offensive line until I knew that it was solid.
Actually, one more thing before I let you run, Q. For those watching on the YouTube stream, they can see the Tupac plaque behind you. So
that's right.
My wife and I have, since we first met, since like our very first date, have a long-running argument. I am East Coast Biggie. She is West Coast Tupac. I imagine being in Vegas, you fall down on the West Coast Tupac side, correct? And how much did the Diddy documentary completely blow up all the illusions? I can't listen to Diddy songs anymore.
It really did, man. It's really bad. And look, I'm a West Coast hip hop guy, but I love the East Coast hip hop. I'm a big Diddy, you know, fan, and the music that he put out. Biggie, obviously, I got a picture of me and Diddy over in the house as well. And yeah, that documentary and everything that went down really kind of puts a dark cloud over everything that we knew growing up. And, you know, all the different lyrics you go back and hear, take that, take that, take that. And you're like, oh, maybe not. So, yeah. Yeah. It's not too good. Not too good, my man.
Q, I appreciate your time this morning, man. Appreciate you getting up early out west. Going to be an interesting off season in Raider Nation. We appreciate you taking the time.
No doubt. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Q Myers of Raider Nation Radio and the Las Vegas Sports Network. I mean, obviously a Tupac fan. He's got the plaque on the wall behind him. So it's in our family, at least, it is a long running back and forth between my wife and I. And I have always solidly been on the Big E East Coast side, and she's been on the Tupac West Coast side. And it's very hard to back the East Coast side of things after you see the Diddy documentary, because he was involved in all of it. And I can't even listen to Diddy songs anymore. I can't. The entire Bad Boy catalog has been ruined for me by the Diddy documentary and everything. It just, and so I've had to basically, yet again, for like the 6 millionth time in nearly 20 years of marriage, turn to my wife and say, yeah, yeah, West Coast over East Coast. And I shrug my shoulders and walk away from it, feeling like I lost another one, my better half. It's the way it goes. Speaking of the NBA, though, because we were talking about the Utah Jazz earlier, I think there is a legitimate way to actually punish the Utah Jazz for this tanking thing. They got a $500,000 fine, it was announced yesterday, for holding out Jaren Jackson Jr. and Lauri Markkanen from the fourth quarter of a couple games last week. That's not going to do anything to deter the Jazz or any other team from tanking. $500,000 fine when you're making $300, $400 million in revenue in a given season. I have an idea for how you can actually deter NBA teams from actively tanking. We'll get into that with veteran NBA insider Nick Friedel next here on You Better You Bet, right here on Westwood One Sports.
The NFL franchise tag window opens Tuesday, and this is where the offseason gets real. Pay them, tag them, or let them walk. We'll tell you the moves as they happen on Westwood One Sports.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-719-5877 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-719-5877. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
Offers are typically below market value in exchange for speed and convenience. Call for details.
Navy Federal Credit Union can help you dominate debt with the Platinum Card. Transfer your credit card balance to the Platinum Card within your first 60 days and get a 0% intro APR for 12 months. Our members could save thousands of dollars over the promo period. Visit NavyFederal.org/platinum. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission.
Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. After the intro rate expires, variable APRs are 10.24% to 18% based on credit worthiness. Rates are subject to change. ATM fees for cash advances are up to $1 at non-Navy Federal ATMs. Offer ends
3/31/2026. Let's go!
You're still grooving, still connecting, still loving, still turning up, still thriving. You still got it, but your immune system, it weakens as you age. That's where vaccines come in. They help train and strengthen your immune response to fight off respiratory illnesses like flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, or COVID-19. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Book in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Liberty Mutual customized this song for you. Whoa. Like your car insurance, it's custom to, yeah. Whoa. Liberty Mutual's got the coverage that could save you money. Thanks to Doug and Limu, well now you can go and take that cruise. Liberty, 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 yeah.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.